You're listening to Dose of Depth podcast. I'm your host, Deborah Lukovich, and I invite you to be curious about your unique experience of being human. In this podcast, we'll explore the deeper meaning of ordinary life experiences through conversation, stories, and education. You might have a serious aha moment, or you might just be amused by the movie your life seems to be imitating, or you might just be entertained by one of my awkward stories. I'm hoping you'll become more aware of those moments when a deeper part of you is prompting you to see things differently and maybe even go a new direction. So let's get started. For today's episode, I'm going to read from my most recent book. The title is Your Soul is Talking. Are you listening? 5 Steps to Uncovering Your Hidden Purpose. This book teaches the reader how the unconscious speaks and brings those concepts to life through my personal stories of midlife unraveling, reconstruction, healing wounds related to sexuality and spirituality, wounds I didn't even know I had, and the anxiety of living life in a completely new way. I didn't know why I had to study depth psychology, which interestingly coincided with the beginning of the end of my 24-year marriage. But my PhD research and writing helped me find the real purpose of my midlife unraveling. I knew I couldn't possibly be alone, and this is also how I excuse my new uncontrollable urge to overshare. I started getting really interested in my own experience of life, and my writing not only helped me process intense experiences, but blog posts and short stories became a way to entertain and create space for others to explore their own experiences. I started seeing my life and everyone else's as a Netflix series, filled with drama, comedy, romance, and even a dash of science fiction. I get so excited about the potential Netflix series being lived out as my clients explore their inner world. That's why I'm on a mission to teach people the language of the unconscious, because that's where most of who we really are lives. I love taking the mystery out of otherwise difficult concepts too, and I get off on helping people explore the guidance being offered to them by their unconscious in the form of dreams, obsessions, fantasies, personality type, films, and even anxiety. You can listen to me read Chapter 1, The Discovery of You, in Episode 7. It provides a little peek into my story, what I talk about as soul making, and how surrendering to the irrational urge to study depth psychology changed my life. In Chapter 2, How This Book Works, I explain the layout of the book, the importance of journaling both in words and images, and a reminder that the journey to become something new requires the death or letting go of perspectives that no longer serve us. If you enjoy, I hope you will purchase my book or gift a copy to someone you care about. You'll find all sorts of links down in the description box. So let's get started with Chapter 2, How This Book Works. Chapter 2, How This Book Works. This is not an academic book, nor is it targeted towards researchers or professionals who work in the field of psychology, except as a resource for their patients and clients. This book is not for people who limit themselves to seeing through an intellectual lens that values logic and reason over other types of knowing. The overarching framework of this book is depth psychology, the study of the unconscious, and I refer to theories and approaches developed within this field, especially those originating with Carl Jung. Much has been and will continue to be written that critiques and expands on these theories, but this is not the purpose of my book. The approaches and exercises are written through the lens of my personal experience and are those I found most useful during my midlife unraveling and reconstruction, which coincided with working towards a PhD in depth psychology. This book is for people who are new to self-reflection and those who want to learn more about a depth psychological approach to life. It is a user guide for people who know there are forces beneath the surface of their lives, prompting them towards something which they cannot yet articulate in words. This something that is prompting them to reflect and find new meaning, I refer to as soul. This book is for people who sense that intellectual understanding by itself is incomplete. It is inclusive of differing religious frameworks, reflects my symbolic approach to sexuality and spirituality, and is written in a way that values multiple ways of learning. Sharing my stories. Stories are an effective way to deliver and receive knowledge, and I've been told that sharing my especially awkward stories creates a safe space for others to explore their own uncomfortable experiences. Being alone will not protect you from feeling vulnerable. Engaging with my fantasy of being sexually submissive, for example, was not easy. I never chose to have that fantasy. I was embarrassed by it, and it would just pop up, follow me around, and torture me. As a budding depth psychologist, I knew embarrassment was key to its significance, and I decided to draw it, to get away from it. By putting it on paper and stepping back, I could safely explore it and try to figure out what it was trying to tell me. What did it want from me? My fantasy was encouraging me to submit to my inner being, and the arousal I felt was the reward for having the courage to follow the uncertain path that was in front of me. I offer lots of stories to encourage you to embrace your own awkward and vulnerable life experiences, which are key to coming into deeper relationship with yourself and others. Experiential learning. This book is designed to engage your unconscious from the start and be a tool to process your experiences along the way. Numerous reflection questions are meant to get your juices flowing. In all the hundreds of depth psychology books I read, I often struggled with the need to have examples or a template. Under each heading titled, "Try This," are opportunities to put concepts and approaches to work right away. The sections titled, "Sharing My Insights," illustrate my process of finding meaning in my images and how that meaning turned into new ways of thinking and behaving. You might be tempted to avoid that last step, but it is the doorway to a new place. Practicing the new attitude, way of thinking, or approach contributes to your capacity to respond to life in new ways and creates new neural connections. This book is designed to last a lifetime, guiding you to go deeper and deeper over time. What's covered in this book? In the next chapter, concepts and terms are defined. Some of them are depth psychology terms that I want to explain in everyday language, and others are common terms that I use in a more symbolic and inclusive way. Chapter 4 introduces you to my 5-step process to working with the unconscious that emerged naturally as I became more experienced working with my images. Chapter 5 encourages you to consider the larger forces that have influenced you, especially the big one called patriarchy, which is stubbornly hanging on in no small part due to the validation it receives from patriarchal religious doctrine. I think you'll find the new theories regarding the topic interesting and empowering. Chapters 6 through 15 cover 10 ways the unconscious speaks, along with examples, reflection questions, and personal stories to help you identify the ways your unconscious has been talking to you. Chapters 16 through 24 outline 9 methods of working with your unconscious, guiding you to explore the types of images you learned about in the previous chapters. More exercises and stories illustrate how these methods contributed to my process of finding meaning, identifying new areas of growth, and ultimately leading to my life unfolding in a new way. As you try them out, insights may come quick or slow. The more relaxed and curious you are, the more you will get out of the process. Chapter 25 encourages you to consider your experience with this book as the beginning of a new practice. Good nutrition and exercise are not ends, rather they are practices that contribute to long-term health. Working with your unconscious is a practice of self-reflection that contributes to living a meaningful life. Capturing and processing your experiences. Exploring myself as a laboratory experiment or a mystery novel helps me avoid drowning in my experiences. Looking at myself as if I am over there creates distance and brings some objectivity to the process. The intense awkwardness I felt in the beginning of my post-divorce life changed my sense of humor, a defense mechanism of sorts for me to survive the process. And sharing my experiences with others helped me process them. After decades of being in control of the persona I showed the world, I had now found myself blurting out my awkward stories to certain people who oddly found them entertaining. My personal Netflix series sometimes resembled a family drama and other times a romantic comedy. This book will engage your unconscious as you learn about and apply concepts to your life experiences. Embrace your wandering mind when memories or fantasies come to the surface, and pay attention to emotions and the feelings you use to make sense of them, as well as what gets activated in your body. Do not discard or judge these glimpses into your inner world. Plunging into the depths of the unconscious, the realm of which we know nothing, requires letting go of control and allowing new insights to emerge. The meaning will come later, but know that the mysterious messages are meant to be helpful and contribute to your growth. Finding meaning in the clues that emerge from your unconscious is not like solving a math problem where there is one correct answer. Often messages and new insights conflict with what we consciously believe, prompting us to evolve our attitude about ourselves and others. The more rigid our beliefs, the more threatening it feels to have a more nuanced and tolerant viewpoint. For example, holding yourself to impossible standards not only can lead to shame about past mistakes, but often leads to unfair projections onto others of what you cannot face in yourself. A new, balanced attitude can emerge when there is capacity to manage the tension between the two things that were perceived to be in opposition. Carl Jung called this process the transcendent function. Just as students use workbooks to practice and apply mathematical concepts, you will need a tool, a gathering place, to explore the material your unconscious presents to you. You will need two types of journals, one where you write or type, and one in which you draw. You can purchase journals from my store at deborahlukovich.com. The written journal, I use a Word document, is where you will document messages from your unconscious, dreams, for example. This is where you will reflect about associations and insights and develop strategies to integrate new ways of thinking and behaving into your life. If you are new to journaling or you haven't journaled in a while, you may feel resistance. Journaling is difficult for many people for reasons that are more complex than they realize. Pulling things out of your unconscious and putting them on paper makes them real. Research shows that people who write down their goals are 85% more likely to achieve them. So putting your dreams and deepest thoughts down on paper creates momentum for exploring and makes it possible to find new meaning and change in your life. Having not journaled since fifth grade, I found myself compelled to start writing on my laptop when I was 48. It felt like daily vomiting onto the page for 6 months. Then it stopped and I read what I had written. I was surprised at rereading my first journal entry. I can't live like this anymore. The 50-plus pages documenting my husband's drinking revealed a sinister pattern I had not seen before, a pattern that involved a self-imposed minimizing of my suffering. Maybe I knew it, but I didn't know it in a way that forced me to face it. Be gentle with yourself as you gather the courage to pull out your insides and display them, even if only to yourself. Write or type the words, half sentences, run-on sentences, bullets, stream of consciousness writing, poetry, prose. There's no right way to journal. It's the first step in allowing your inner being to have a voice. You don't get to control what she, he, they have to say, but you can honor your inner being by putting the words on paper, and then you can walk away for a while. Sometimes you will not be able to find the words to express an experience. The image journal will allow you to capture experiences for which there are no words, and it will be the gathering place for the most vulnerable expressions from your unconscious. My image journal is small, leather-bound, and full of those cream-colored pages with imperfect edges, and I mostly use color pencils for my drawings. This may be the toughest part of the process if your inner artist has been sitting in the shadows since childhood. Sharing my insights. The first time I allowed my unconscious to express itself in a drawing was a year after that first journal entry I mentioned above. I felt like I was in kindergarten, and I didn't know what to draw, and this caused intense anxiety. In a trance, sipping on a glass of wine at my favorite bar, I started drawing lines from the center of the page to the edge. I must have drawn over 100 lines. After I filled the page, I stepped back, took another sip of wine, and my eyes widened and my chest felt heavy. My cheeks turned red when I noticed that the blank space left in the center of the paper was the shape of a heart. I colored it in, pressing down hard on the crayons and pastels, tears in my eyes. In that vulnerable moment, I had met my inner child. She was 6 the year before I began to be bullied at school. I never told the teacher, and I don't think I told my parents about the emotional torture and the threats of violence to my little body. The raw experience of allowing this drawing to emerge unleashed that forgotten and scared child part of me. She was able to break through all my protective layers as she guided me through the drawing of the image. I might not have found her if I hadn't allowed myself to draw like a child. Acknowledging her and beginning to provide her with what I hadn't received as a child led to new levels of joy, passion, and creative expression in my life. Death comes before rebirth. Throughout this book are sprinkled opportunities to apply concepts, including exercises related to specific approaches. Sometimes you'll be excited and other times you'll be tempted to dismiss something as silly. Resist the temptation to stay in your head and the bullying by your defensive ego. Feeling resistance is a clue you're onto something, and feeling awkward indicates you're going to experience something new. Hang in there and push yourself through it. Developing my capacity for awkwardness brought the most amazing rewards in the form of deep connection with a lover, and courage to leave behind my old professional persona in favor of a new life as a writer. Making room for something new requires the symbolic death of something old. Jungian analyst Murray Stein destroyed my once romantic view of the metaphoric journey from caterpillar to butterfly. In his book, Transformation, Emergence of the Self, he describes what is really going on inside that cocoon. The most gruesome part of the transformative process is the complete disintegration of the caterpillar form, which precedes the emergence of the new butterfly that has no choice but to desperately dig its way out of the now suffocating womb. Transformation in how one exists in the world requires a psychological death, but the reward of authenticity is worth the price. The individual who consciously embarks on the journey into their unconscious has courage. I love how Dr. Brené Brown talks about courage in her book, Daring Greatly. The book was inspired by 10 years of research on vulnerability. Courage is not the absence of fear. Rather, it is doing something in the presence of fear. For people who choose to remain unaware or are not equipped to become aware, shadowy demons may find a way to wreak havoc in their lives. Are you intrigued? I must be honest about what you're up against should you say yes to this Indiana Jones-like adventure. You will be going against the grain of modern culture, convention, and other groups and inherited beliefs which have influenced your life. As you change the way you exist in the world, some of your strongest relationships will change. Those who had previously projected onto you the responsibility for meeting certain psychological needs may throw a temper tantrum because they have been used to you responding to them in a certain way. Likewise, taking back what you've projected onto others may cause anxiety in you. Watching others do fine without your meddling can feel like a blow to your sense of identity. Initial vulnerability will transform into empowerment as you learn to meet your own psychological needs and allow others to do the same. This chapter was meant to help you get the most out of your experience of my book. I hope you enjoyed chapter 2 enough to stay tuned for what comes next. Although I'm hoping you're already intrigued enough to purchase my book and use it as a guide to find deeper meaning in your own super interesting life. All kinds of links are below. Until next time. I'm your host, Deborah Lukovich, and you are listening to Dose of Depth podcast. To get updates on new episodes, my writing, and how I teach my clients to get to know that deeper part of themselves, go to DeborahLukovich.com. Oh, and if you're not ready for a coach, learn what my clients know in my book, Your Soul is Talking. Are you listening? 5 Steps to Uncovering Your Hidden Purpose. You can check it out on my website or get it on Amazon.